Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Thank you for joining us. Steve and I are here together in the Cleveland studio, 1 day removed from Thanksgiving, 2 days removed from Thanksgiving. And I first of all want to say thank you for having me over. So I did not make the trip to see my mom in West Virginia. My mom listens to the show. She actually wanted to tell you she was worried about you. And I said, you're talking about help, but you're good now. Yep. So my mom cares. But I appreciate it very much, man. First of all, the turkey was fucking great.
I got it. Spatchcocked. Yeah, I did the spatchcock thing, and I'm gonna toot my own horn. It was fucking good.
It was good.
I was excited about it just because I had smoked turkeys before and they were good, but they still were a little dry. They were good, but they were still a little dry. Right? They were better than doing it in the oven, but like I said, they just had a little bit of dryness. This one
did not.
Did not. Like, it doesn't matter where you cut. Like, the breast was tender and juicy and the legs and the thighs and whatever I put. So you have, I think, a thigh and some breast meat in your fridge, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm sure everybody wouldn't want to hear.
Right, exactly.
I mean, and I
didn't want to be a dick and take a drumstick, but they looked phenomenal.
I had one, and then my brother-in-law ate the other one, which I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you really just eat my other drumstick, you bastard?
So the reason I'm not getting that shit is because I couldn't bring myself to do it. Like, I didn't score the winning touchdown.
Apparently, you should have.
John Madden didn't award me the drumstick, and so therefore I did not want to be that guy. Like, hey, thanks for having me for your family event. I do consider you family, whatever.
Yes, excellent.
I feel very comfortable there, but I didn't want to be that guy. Like, I'm going to sit at the head of the table and grab a drumstick and be a dick.
But no, I mean, and I thought the skin was really good, too.
I didn't get any. I only had a little bit, and I want more. I got a little bit.
Well, you got some of what I put in the fridge.
Cool.
So, anyway, besides
everyone wanting to hear about us talking about eating at your place, thank you again.
But yeah, no, you're welcome. It was... you know, it was a good time. Kids, dogs, people, great. But in the meantime, like, it was another week, right? I mean, you know, since we've last talked, you know, Trump has somewhat, in a way, relented that, you know, he's going to transition or allow for the transition of information to the Biden team. He himself. Donald Trump will not concede the election. He's very careful to not admit that he lost. And every reference he makes to the election is that it was rigged and that he won. And, you know, he's...
You count the legal ballots.
Right. Once again, he's the victim. So we're going, you know, but he is transitioning or allowing for the transition over to Biden rather peacefully. His legal team is still making arguments. Pennsylvania looking basically like the last stand. Other states have certified. For the most part, I do believe. You know, in Pennsylvania, technically certified the election, the presidential election. There was a court that put they ordered a stay on the certification process, even though it had already been certified for the president, for the presidential race. They wouldn't allow for any additional certifications and any cures and all this other stuff. So that's technically a win for the Trump legal team. But then the legislature in Pennsylvania challenged that court's ruling, which the legislature is allowed to do. Because of that challenge, that basically put a stay on that court's order to not certify, therefore allowing the certification process to proceed. There was supposed to be a hearing on Friday, but that hearing didn't happen on Friday because the legislature stepped in, challenged the court's order. So their order to not certify was overruled by the challenge. And so I'm sure there's going to be additional legal work that happens. Now, I was looking forward to this hearing that was supposed to take place yesterday, would have been the 27th, right?
Right.
I was looking forward to it because I think it would have put the Trump team, it absolutely would have put the Trump team in a position where they would have had to show evidence of the fraud that they're alleging in public, not what they're alleging in court, right? Like, so what they're alleging in court, again, we've talked about this process, administrative, you know, like these rules weren't followed in terms of where people are supposed to be and how they're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, but not specific charges of fraud. People, you know, fake ballots and changing votes and all that sort of stuff. Votes being thrown away and ballots that were for Trump being hidden somewhere. That's not what they're alleging. So they would have been in a position where they would have needed to show some form of evidence enough to where it could have, you know, proceeded into court. And I don't think that they have it. We know. Now everyone's saying, oh, they've got affidavits. They've got sworn affidavits. And they've got, you know, these, if you look on YouTube, like, okay, first of all, a sworn affidavit isn't evidence, right? I could literally pull out an affidavit. I could write up a form right now. We could call it an affidavit. You sign it. We can even have somebody come and notarize it. All good and great, right? So then you want to enter that into evidence in court. That's fine. But once we do that,
Legally binding.
It's legally binding, right? You're under oath. Like once you go under oath, like I put you on the stand and say, "Hey, is this your sworn affidavit?" Yes, it is. Did you see this? According to your affidavit, you said you saw this. You experienced this firsthand, right? Tell us about what you saw that day. Right. So now anything.
Well, are there legal repercussions? Then I don't remember that so well.
Right. It's just like, oh, what are the legal repercussions? If you're lying, you go to jail. Right. Like if you're lying and you can't prove it, or I pull someone in here who can, you know, attest that you weren't where you said you were, or this particular thing doesn't happen. Now it's your word against theirs. Now, it doesn't automatically mean perjury and it doesn't automatically mean you're going to jail. But there are certain repercussions that happen if it proves that you're just blatantly lying, right?
Sure.
And usually what happens, especially with affidavits, is when you put a person in a situation where, you know, you could be called to testify in an actual court case in front of a judge and or jury, then a lot of times those affidavits never make it to court because people are never willing to actually, you know, sign their name, if you will.
Right. So Pennsylvania is still not official, unofficial. I mean, it's such a weird situation. The only thing that I can think of is weirder is the President of the United States, following an election, stepping out and saying, hey, the Dow Jones hit a new record. It's a sacred number. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. He gave a 60-second press conference. Sorry, call me a liar. 62-second press conference. So people out there have attacked my integrity before. There, you got me. Fuck, it was wild. It's like, hey, the stock market's great, and I'm leaving. Bye-bye.
Right, so it's so bizarre. So you have, you know, the president challenging the election. You know, you've got these various court cases. You've got these claims that they're making. You know, but Biden is the president-elect, and so the Dow hits 30,000, right? And that's a record-breaking number. You know, we'll get Market Ben back on the show to talk about it. He needs to do a victory lap because, you know, he said, listen, we're not going to see a market crash because Biden was elected. In fact, it's, you know, we talked about it already being priced in and the market didn't crash. The market's been crazy and there were parts of days where things were really wonky and things dipped. But on those same days, the market rallied like crazy and broke records. And sure. I mean, like the last 2 weeks, I've made pretty good money. So you have too, sir.
I have done.
So, you know, we didn't see this, you know, market crash that everybody was, oh, when Biden's elected, the markets are going to. No, we're not seeing that. So,
When don't we become a communist country like next week or is it 2 weeks from now?
Well, I think that's coming like next year.
Next year, okay.
The Chinese communist takeover is coming next year, according to some diehards out there. But, well, like I said, we'll have Market Ben back on to talk about what the Dow breaking 30,000 means. He'll give a really good in-depth explanation of it and kind of what it means, if it means anything of significance at all to, you know, you, myself, and the average guy on Main Street. But the president came out and, you know, in the midst of all this shit going on, has this 62-second press conference where it's essentially a photo op, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a photo op, and what it is that the Dow hits 30,000. The president wants credit for it. And historically, he wants to make sure that he gets credit for it and it doesn't go to Biden, because technically, right, Biden is the president-elect, but he's right. not inaugurated, right? Now, if we're going back, right, if we're going back in time, you know, when Trump was elected, the market went crazy.
Yes.
Right? And but he was just the president-elect. It wasn't because of him, right? You know what I mean? Like, so what are we...
Well,
what,
but we've... I mean...
Yeah, I
to
mean...
To the surprise of no one, the rules have changed, and yes, now exactly. I get credit for this.
But the point is, like, the president was using that as an opportunity to say, the Dow hit 30,000 under my watch. Now, why is he using it as a photo op? That's kind of the thing that people are really debating right now, right? Like, we all agree that it was bizarre, but if you think about it, for Trump, it wasn't bizarre. We know that he's doing this because he's going to use it for one of two things, maybe both. One, people are saying if he runs for president in 2024, this will be one of the things that he uses, that he puts out there. Like, look at me. I was the president, and I led us to a 30,000, you know, mark of the Dow, and you know, I was this great leader, and I got the election was robbed from me, but I'm back, and, you know, I'm your favorite president of all time. And
imagine what will happen now.
Right, imagine what happens next. Like, I'm going to fix everything that Joe Biden did wrong, you know, over the last 4 years and whatever. So that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, we've talked about him wanting his own media company. It's like the worst kept secret out there. We know that he does. The question was, which company will he take over? He can't even begin to afford to even think about trying to buy Fox. You know, OAN was kind of where I was thinking, but there's this new media company that has come out. It's called Newsmax. Conservatives are flocking to it. It's filled with former people from his administration, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, her dad, Mike Huckabee, Rance Priebus, or however you say his first name, like right. all those people, you know, who were diehard or who had been diehard Trump loyalists, like they're all flocking to Newsmax now, right? And so all his followers and supporters are flocking to Newsmax and this social media site Parler, which we've talked about on the show. And Parler is where every conservative that's a Trump loyalist is saying, I'm getting off Twitter, I'm getting off Facebook, and I'm going to Parler, follow me there. We've talked about that. I think some of these people that are Trump loyalists have a financial stake in Parler, and it's been proven that for some of those that is actually true. You know, so it's a money move for them. Also, it's they want the echo chamber, they want the silo, they want a place where they can talk openly and freely about how much they love Trump and everything that he did right, and how everything that the Democrats and everything that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is going to be wrong. They want that uninterrupted on Twitter and Facebook. That doesn't always happen. I think some of that is on Twitter and Facebook for over-regulating, over-censoring, things like that. And then some of the shit that they say is, you know, like, it is racist. It is this or that. Not all of it, and very little of it is technically, you know, falls into those categories of hate speech and all that other shit. But some of it is, right? But on Parler, there's basically no rules for conservatives, right? Like, they can say whatever they want without worrying about being restricted, and that's what they want. Now, like, please understand, I'm not saying that everyone who goes to Parler wants to be a racist asshole and say hateful things and promote hate speech. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, they want to exist in this echo chamber where people aren't challenging them about the things that they believe in and the things that they support. They want a place where they can openly say whatever and not... Now, part of this is on the progressive left, right? Like, because sometimes a person says something that falls into that conservative mantra and they get attacked with racism for no fucking reason, right? A person says, you know, I believe in hard work and that you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and then they get attacked and they're called a racist just because of that statement, even though there's nothing necessarily racist about it, right? And so that's kind of the direction that a lot of people are going. And so Trump, knowing that, I think he wants to make a play to buy Newsmax, right? And to own it and to have an ownership stake in it, and then use these certain clips of him leading the Dow, you know, leading the country into a market that's breaking records and all that other stuff, and then kind of live in folklore on his own media network where he's going to attack Biden and Kamala Harris incessantly until 2024 And then, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, I know there are people who will lose their minds with what I'm about to say, but there is no liberal progressive echo chamber, the equivalent of Parler.
No.
There isn't. People will say, well, that's CNN. That's the mainstream media. That's where you... Bullshit. CNN has its flaws. We've talked about it many times.
A lot of flaws.
A lot of flaws. I mean, I need to...
Their main flaw is, you know, accuracy in reporting.
Well, that's a flaw in the news organization. But it's motivated by get there first, not I want to lie and support this person. Now, they do have an attack squad against Trump because that relationship was terrible from the jump.
You could argue 80% of their network, but...
Well, okay, I mean, okay, any of their opinion, folks.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
But there is no Parler for liberals. And as much as right-wingers want to say, well, it's the mainstream media. Bullshit. The mainstream media has its flaws, but there isn't this quiet echo chamber where we can all hide out and just say whether it's racist or just, you know, touting Trump as this savior. That does not exist, and I will be the first one to call it out if it ever does.
Right. I mean, and if it does, I don't know where, I mean, like, I'm sure there's some dark hole of Reddit where I'm sure there's plenty of crazy progressives that are saying all sorts of shit.
I'm sure you're right.
You know, but the funny thing is that, you know, conservatives complain about Twitter, yet they do the complaining about Twitter on Twitter.
Which is kind of ironic.
Right. You know, Facebook is a little bit more kind of snap to it when it comes to, you know, like, if you criticize Facebook, you need to watch your back and every, you know, Zuckerberg is all over that shit. But I mean, I think that both you see what you see a lot of are, you know, people complaining about being victims, and but they use examples of people who take things super far right, go really extreme, and say, well, this person got banned and we are being censored. No, not we. He or she is being censored because he or she is an asshole, right? There are very few times where you look at what the person said and like, I don't get it, right? Now, there have been times where a person's been censored and I'll be like, see, that's bullshit, right? We talked about this. Right, and I think, you know, when Twitter shut down the New York Post article about...
Hunter Biden?
About Hunter Biden, I thought that was a bullshit call on Twitter's behalf. I thought that was the wrong thing to do. They reversed course and they eventually allowed it back on. I don't think it did the damage that conservatives in the New York Post claim that it did, because the New York Post is a newspaper first, right? Like, so they released it hard copy. They released it, it was released on every social media platform, right? And then it was like Twitter shut it down and then, you know, put it back on. And so, yes, that did some damage, but it's just like, well, a lot of people use Twitter. But if you look at Twitter's market share of the social media market, like, it's not what you think it is. Yeah, there's a fuck ton of people on it, but they don't have the market share nearly that Facebook has. Or I think Instagram has more than they do. And then, you know, YouTube and everything else. So there were plenty of other avenues for the New York Post article about Hunter Biden to get out, and they were. Right, and they were all used, and they were all accessible to everyone. So the claim about the amount of damage that Twitter did by shutting it down was bullshit to a degree, and I still think that, you know, like Ted Cruz, the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, really missed the opportunity to put Ted Cruz in his place when he let Ted Cruz go off on all this shit that was going on, when he could have just said, this is my fucking company. I didn't like the article. I shut it down. It's private. If you want to do something about it, then you guys need to change the rules. Otherwise, I'm playing by the rules that have been set, and go fuck yourself.
And
right?
By the way, Ted, aren't you for free market?
Aren't you for free market and private and blah, blah. And if I'm not that, then you need to change the rules to tell me what I actually am. But until then, go fuck yourself, right? And the problem is that these companies don't, like, whether it's Zuckerberg or Dorsey, you know, they want to walk on eggshells, and they want, like, you can't, like, these people aren't playing with you, right? They're using you so that they can get on their high horse and they can get on their soapbox, and that they can recruit people to their side and they can get their side worked up. So fuck playing nice, play their game and fucking burn them, right? If I were Zuckerberg, I'd be like, it's my fucking company. I built this to look at fucking chicks, and I'll do what the fuck I want. And if you guys want to change the rules, then change the rules, and I'll abide by them. But until then, I'm gonna play by the rules that have been set before me. So go fuck off.
You know, I've been an outspoken fan of Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, fanboy.
I am, totally.
If you like lifeless, heartless droids, then cool.
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to fight back on that because good, spit that out your nose. I hope it comes out your nose, you fuck.
Because it's soda
victory,
water.
Victory. But I'm starting to say, you know what? He's about to burn down exactly what he wanted to create. He wanted to create a forum for people to be able to reach out to, you know, socially network.
Movie.
Obviously, great movie, in my opinion. But when you start censoring what people can say and literally shutting them down, and if I said something that was flat out inappropriate and your response to that is you don't get to talk on my platform for 24 hours, then you're pussing out. If I said something that's that bad, kick me off or don't. But don't, you get to go to you're in timeout for 24 hours. What am I going to do? 24 hours, I'm going to come back and say, I was put in jail by Mark Zuckerberg for 24 hours. Granted, it's not personally him. It's the algorithm. But to me, it's either an open, free forum or it's not. And Zuckerberg is fucking with that. And I think it could tear his brainchild apart.
You're right. You know, you're right. And people, the reality is people don't like that. They don't want that, right? Like, people want an open forum and free forum, but they don't. Right? Because ultimately, like, look, we can't control what other people do. And there are a lot of assholes out there. There are a lot of people who literally threat. This is why there's so many people that follow Trump, not because they believe he's a good leader, not because they believe in his policies, not because they believe that he's draining the swamp. They literally like him because he says the things that, you know, they want to say. Yeah. And he says, and he aggravates people, right? Like, that's the only thing. Like, they like Trump because he's a giant fucking internet troll.
Yeah.
Right? But he's an internet troll that's the fucking president of the United States, right? Like, so they love that, and that's who and what they are and want to be, right? Like, they literally make, they make personas on social media to literally tear into people to hurt their feelings, and then they laugh about it, right? So this group of people likes Trump because he promotes that idea, so they will follow him through thick and thin because he is their leader.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, it's just like, as long as he's doing it, then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it even harder, and then people don't like the shit that he says, so I'm just going to say the shit that he says, and that's really going to stick him in the asshole. And they fucking love it, right? Like, so he's created this whole culture of people that are just loving it, just, you know, the whole chaos theory, right? Like, they literally just want to kind of see the world on the internet burn. And a lot of these people are just fucking average Joes, right? They had Thanksgiving dinner, they cooked turkey, they sat down with their family, and they, you know, they got the you know, who's going to give who Christmas gifts from out of town. They did all that shit, and they, you know, they wore the terrible sweaters, and then they got on their computer, they got on their phone, and then they just harassed people all day and all night. And then, you know, they went to bed, they woke up, and were fucking normal Joes again.
And that's, to me, that's one big difference between Facebook and Twitter. Facebook, you need to represent you as you. Twitter, I know people who have 30 Twitter accounts, and they troll with 29 of them. There's the one that's them, and they'll talk about how they hope in my crowd, the Bills win, they hope the Steelers win, blah, blah, blah. But then they're, you know, Joe Mick sneaky guy, whatever, and they, best I can do, sorry, and they literally will say the most vile shit, and they don't give a fuck, because no one's ever going to know who they are. If they're lucky. Now, occasionally those people fuck up and they do something on their actual account. And that is entertaining as hell. I love that. When there was something a couple weeks ago about someone doing the thing like, I'm a gay black man.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, been treated better under the Trump administration than any other. So I'm voting for Trump. But the guy who did it was a white Republican pollster or something.
Right. Yeah.
And it was fucking hilarious. Yes.
And then he tried to say, oh, well, that's what somebody was telling me. And it was, you know, I mean, the guy, clearly he got caught. But
don't drink and tweet is the real.
True. Do not do that. But yeah, it's just, so, you know, when it comes to Trump, I think at this point, most of it, I think I, you know, last week and the week before, we talked about, you know, a potential coup attempt. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, like and it was the worst case scenario. Not that I believed that it was going to happen, but things were aligning in a way that made me very uncomfortable. And some of the things he was saying, where he's just like, all right, well, look, even though the ballots say this, he was calling up legislatures and saying, hey, you know this whole thing was rigged, so why don't you just elect or pick the electors that are going to choose me, and instead of going with what the ballots say, and then let's just do it that way, right? Like, that was a conversation he was having with people, and guys, that is a coup. That is, you know, overrunning the will of the people. And it's just like, well, the election was rigged. No, it wasn't. Like, there's just no proof of it. And even, like, the reality is look, even if you came up with 100,000 ballots that were fraudulent, fake, dead people, whatever, right? And you spread them amongst three states, Trump still loses by millions and millions of votes, right? I mean, it just does. Now, if you say, well,
it's electoral,
you know, right? It's electoral, right? I mean, like, if you go to Wisconsin, right? He spent a lot of money in Wisconsin challenging that, and then come to find out, yeah, so you actually lost by more than we initially thought.
You joke with me, like, how funny would it be if he challenges and spends all this money and comes back, okay, you're correct. There were some misappropriated votes, and they went for you, so we're taking them away. So thank you for pointing out. It'd be like turning yourself in for cheating on a test.
That's exactly what it was. And so, I, you know, now we're at a point where I think as a country, whether you like it, you know, if you're a Trump supporter and you don't like what's going on, listen, unless you really, like, if you're that pissed about it, then overthrow the fucking government. Right, if you're so pissed about it and it was all fraudulent and you can't trust anything and the news media is lying to you, Biden is going to turn the country over to China, this whole thing is rigged and you can't trust the big banks and Bill Gates is trying to end up, okay, then get your fucking AR and don't come to my house because I've got one too and I'll just, and my aim's pretty fucking good, but go do your thing and overthrow the goddamn country. Right, go ahead. Go ahead. Join your boys in Michigan and go overthrow the country since you got all the answers and you know, and we're all just sheep. We're all just sheeple following in the footsteps and bowing down to the puppet masters. Then just go overthrow the country and then you be our new leader since you got all the fucking answers. And if you don't want to do that and you're not willing to do that, then shut up and sit down.
I wasn't going to go that extreme, but I will say that I'll take my pump shotgun over an AR in my house any day of the week. Yeah.
See, they're not getting in my house.
Well, they're not getting... Anyway.
See, I see you coming down the block.
So, yeah, the Wisconsin thing did crack me up because you had literally said that exact thing to me that, like, wouldn't it be funny if he challenges, spends all this money? And I think a lot, Steve, I think a lot of what he's still doing is literally... And we've touched on this, but I think he's desperate for money and he's trying to remain...
Relevant,
and, you know, keep people throwing money his way. I mean, everything he does not only asks for money, but it has a disclaimer that says this may or may not go towards a legal effort to, you know, correct the election.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like, I really need money right now, so I don't want to be ignored.
And he did, like, and there's no, like, you can't, like, listen, he does need money, mate. I mean, the reality is that he does have a fair number of debts that are coming due in the next couple of years. That if he were to pay them based out of his net worth, it wouldn't cripple him? Because I mean, the guys,
I don't know that that's for sure.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't. I think that would. That's what people want, but I don't think it's true. I think now would he be, you know, would he have to sell a plane or two? You know, yes, because I think he only has two. But yes, he would have to sell a plane or two. You know, would he have to? You know, would he have to? You know, kind of cut bait with some of his more. Profitable properties, right? Which there's not many of them, but yeah, he probably would. It would probably hurt him financially, but it wouldn't cripple him. And he doesn't want that to happen, right? He's been broke before. Yeah, but I also think that he really wants a news organization, and that just takes a lot of money. And when you combine the fact that he's got debts coming due that he's going to have to pay, he's got bad relationship with banks across the world. He needs a way to generate capital, and this is part of it.
He's also probably had a ton of vultures flying underneath him that have been ripping him off left and right, and all that money is gone.
And I don't know if they're even ripping him off. Like, I mean, they're
doing what he's allowed.
Right. I mean, I think Trump is just like, yeah, everybody, let's ball out.
Party all the time.
You want to buy a Ferrari? Buy a Ferrari. Do whatever you want. The money's going to keep rolling in because people are going to keep giving it to us because they love us, no matter what we say or do. Right? Like, so I wouldn't even necessarily, if I got really, really rich, right? And then I'm just like, Jim, I'm going to appoint you head of media relations, right? And I tell you, like, listen, you know, buy a car, write it off under the company, and whatever. I don't care. Go buy a
Ferrari, bitch.
Yeah, go buy the fucking maxed out Tesla or whatever you want to do. I don't give a fuck, right? Like, I mean, like, what are you gonna do, right?
I'm buying the maxed out Tesla.
Right, exactly. So I don't even know if they're actually vultures or if they're just following his lead.
Okay. Either way, they've been feeding off the carcass.
Well, yeah,
it's now a carcass.
Right. I mean, I think money is definitely an issue, and. You know, and I think that if you want to look at, I mean, the legal team, his legal team, you can call them vultures because, I mean, they're putting up some shitty arguments in court. You know, Sidney Powell got booted off of that legal team because she just went so crazy with some of the claims that she's made.
When Rudy Giuliani is your go-to guy, that's a scary situation
when
to be in.
Rudy Giuliani says, this person is saying things that are so crazy, we don't want them associated with our team. You know you have a problem, especially the last few years, because Rudy Giuliani was making some pretty crazy claims with fucking hair dye melting down his face.
Yes.
So when that is the guy who's saying, we don't want that person associated right. with us anymore, holy shit.
Yes. If I say you're drinking too much, you got a problem.
Absolutely.
And
so it's interesting to see where this goes in terms of the court cases, Trump's plans after the election or after the inauguration, you know, how quietly into the night will he go? How soon will he, attain his own media company? What's his relationship with Fox? Because Fox is now at a point where they realize, all right, his legal arguments are trash. He doesn't have any more bullets in the gun. Biden won the election. So now they're turning their attention towards just basically going after Biden and Harris and not really caring about Trump anymore.
Sidney Powell got called out by Tucker Carlson and suddenly was labeled as you're disloyal, you're whatever. And so they turned on him, which entertains the hell
the
out of
me. The fans did. The yeah, fans did, fans right? Did. But, I mean, like, Laura Ingraham has, you know, she was on her show, on her monologue. She was saying how people have to accept the election results and that, you know, Trump isn't putting forth, you know, good faith arguments and things like that. So then his fan base turned on her and they basically turned on Fox. And now they're all going to Newsmax, right? That's the only place that's giving them the truth and the things that they want to hear. And so, you know, Fox is on their shit list. I don't know where OAN stands. I think that people,
I watched them a fair bit this last week. They're still foot on the pedal.
Yeah, I can't watch. It just looks so ridiculous. It's hard to take serious.
It feels like I'm watching Saturday Night Live. Yeah, it feels like I'm watching, like, we're going to say ridiculous shit, and we're just doing this for entertainment value. But,
OAN
oh no.
reminds me of the news broadcast from...
Idiocracy?
No, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Running Man?
No, nope, nope, nope. God damn it. Total Recall.
Okay.
That's kind of what it reminds me of. Anyway, enough about that. Let's jump.
Let's do some fun stuff.
Some different stuff. So Dave Chappelle just this week dropped a new, 18-minute, like, it's kind of a comedy special, but it's not really a comedy special. I've only seen clips of it, so I haven't seen the whole thing, but it's definitely something that we need to get into. We both need to see and watch, and then we can talk about it on the show. But he actually did something else with Netflix and the Chappelle Show, where he went to Netflix and said, yeah, you need to take my show off of your service. Long story short, because I'm not getting paid for it.
Yep.
And I thought this was interesting. And the reason why I think it's worth us talking about is because our show isn't internationally known. I mean, technically we do have people
in
other countries. Right, other people in other countries. And it's a little bit scary that we've got listeners in Russia and China, given their history to be not nice to people
and
who
the stuff
don't
we've
like
said
them.
About them.
Right. So we should think about that. But nah, fuck it. We said what we said, and I mean it. Russia is the Florida of the rest of the world. And, you know, China fucking sucks. But the reason why I think it's important that we talk about why he did what he did is that, listen, we create something on this show.
Sure.
It's clearly not as good as the Chappelle Show.
Correct.
But we put time and energy and effort, and we create this thing, and we put it out there for people to enjoy. And I think that if a company like Spotify were to somehow co-op our show and then put it out there, make money off of it, but yet we were cut out, I would be furious.
I hear you.
Right? And I think it's important that if you are a person who creates something, whether you're an artist, music, a writer, you write a book, or you, even with us, we do a podcast or whatever, I just think the day where you sign these deals with the devil and you're willing to give away all the rights and perpetuity and all that sort of stuff that people do with these terrible deals where these big movie media companies and studios have rights to your music or rights to your show or whatever it might be, and you don't get paid from them, I think those days need to come to an end. So no matter how big or small you are, I think you have to fight to own what you create, and you have to fight to be a partner with whoever the distributor is and understand that words like perpetuity in favor of the big guy are bad words, right? Like, you don't want to give anyone sort of ownership over what you create. It's your creation. I don't care how much money they put into distributing it, right? Because ultimately, that they're going to do that for whoever. You are just another cog in the wheel. So you have to fight to maintain ownership. And if your shit is worth it to where this studio wants it and they're willing to give you a deal that's big enough that's going to make you a star, then there's another studio out there that is willing to do it, that's willing to work with you.
All right. So I think I'm, again, on the record, huge Chappelle fan.
Yep.
And what he did when he literally fled the country. They tried to push him into doing shit that he didn't artistically agree with. And he literally said, I'm now going to Africa. Good luck enforcing this shit on me. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. And what did the media, Dave Chappelle went crazy. Dave Chappelle's lost his mind. He got torn apart.
Yes.
Looking back through the prism of time, Dave Chappelle kicked their ass.
Yes.
First, I'm not saying he put Comedy Central on the map. I mean, they had The Daily Show. They had plenty of other things at South Park. Comedy Central didn't rise because of Dave Chappelle. But he changed it.
Mm-hmm.
He did something just, different. And I, as someone who loves stand-up comedy, to see a stand-up comic make the jump from being a great stand-up comic, which he is and mm-hmm. was, and then go and do a sketch show, which is a totally different thing. And a bunch of comics have tried to do it
and failed
miserably.
Miserably, yeah.
And including my buddy Louis C.K., who I've defended publicly. His comedy sketch shows were not great. Right. I happen to like them because I'm a fan, but they're not good.
Right.
But so Chappelle literally just did something revolutionary. I'm going to use that word. And got shit on for it and just said, I'm not going to let you say I gave you money, so now you're going to do things my way to the corporation of Comedy Central. But they had the rights to it. And at the time, he was not the media monster that he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically, and I love what Chappelle did here, because it's like, they want, fine, if this goes to court, they win. I'm telling you, Netflix, you got me booked for a bunch of specials. Every time I drop a special, it blows up because I'm that fucking good. If you want me to keep doing those, get the shit off your network or get me paid.
Right.
I fucking love it.
Yeah. That's the move. It's called leverage. And he has it.
Right. And he didn't, Comedy Central took advantage. Well, now I got it, bitches. So. Right.
And I think, and the lesson is, listen, if you're listening to this show, chances are you're not as talented as Dave Chappelle. Maybe you are. I hope you are. And if there's anything we can do to help you, ascend to your necessary and appropriate place, then let us know.
At WC Congress on Twitter. We're out there.
I mean, we're more than, like, I'm not afraid of someone coming on our show and blowing up and becoming bigger than us. I'm not. I would love it. I don't need credit for it. I would just love it. The thing is just that, if you are someone who creates something, no matter what it is, and you want to put it out there for the world to see, just think about ownership and think about the value of it. I don't want to go to the don't be a sellout thing or whatever, because like there is
it's tough when you're trying to make it.
Right, you're trying to make it, you're trying to make money, but like we just got to operate smarter. You have more access to information. You have more access to people who can help you. Whether it's legal access, there's a group out there called United Masters, where it's for musicians, but they are basically creating a space for artists, musical artists, to own their masters and own their music and work on independent distribution of the music, which, we've talked about Prince on this show and what he did.
Right.
And it's this very similar thing to what Dave Chappelle did. And Taylor Swift is going through this as well, right? I mean, it's funny, ha ha he he, because it's Taylor Swift. But listen, Taylor Swift is a monster in the music industry, whether sure. you like her or not, right? And so she went as far as to say, all right, you have my masters, you are making money off my music. The guy Scooter Braun sold her collection to somebody else. There's a debate on whether he would allow her to buy it or not. She says he wouldn't. He says he offered to sell it, but whatever. So Taylor Swift has said, all right, well, I'm going to shut things down for a while because I'm going to remake my first six albums that I don't have access to, right? And if you don't think that those first six albums remade by Taylor Swift aren't going to break records in terms of the numbers that they do, you're fucking insane. Right. And unfortunately, I am going to contribute to that because my daughter
will make you.
Right. Will force me to. Right. And as a proud dad, I have no problem with it. And if you do, fight me. But that's just the reality of it. And I think it's a good move by her. I think she probably could have handled it a little bit different. But OK, fine, whatever. I'm not going to attack her for it. But either way, she's taking control of the situation, taking ownership. Now, again, Taylor Swift is a monster. Dave Chappelle is a monster. Prince was a monster in the industries that they're in. And they have leverage. So what you have to do now as an artist up and coming is that you really need to, first of all, use every resource available to you to navigate the process of getting to where you want to be, so that you make smart decisions and you get people who know what they're talking about that are going to help you and not take advantage of you or not talk you into doing something where if you do become a monster or a superstar or whatever, that you actually have access to the shit that you create early on. It's that important. And, you know, like I said, we're not that. We're not on a trajectory to go to Sirius XM and become this large thing. But listen, if you don't think that I am going to fight tooth and nail for every fucking penny of in every, you know,
bit of control,
every single bit of control, then you are sadly mistaken.
And we have friends of the show who have been on the show that I can't talk about in detail because they're working on some entertainment-based opportunities, and they're constantly dealing with their lawyers.
Yep.
And I'm like, good, do it. Because that lawyer should be looking out for your best interest. And you need to know, okay, at this point, I may not have the leverage I want, but if and when I get to that point, I don't want to get fucked over like this.
Yeah.
And especially when I'm obviously particular to stand-up comedy, but you know, you're selling your art. It's your stuff. It's your thing.
Right.
And to get denied
access
to it and to not reap the benefits of what you did. You stood up there and told jokes about your dick. You did whatever. You should not get told, go play somewhere else. And honestly, look at what's happened in music. You just made my mind jog because, you know, it used to be all about the record labels. The record labels owned people.
Oh, yeah.
And look at, and let's talk about NWA, right? They were one of the early ones to just say, fuck it, we're starting our own record label.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of, yep.
You know, right, they got fucked around a little bit too.
Right.
Or a lot. But anyway, they were, from my experience, along with Prince and a few others, they were amongst the first to say, why are we giving all this to
NWA came before Prince in terms of kind of taking control of their situation from a music standpoint, right? Prince did it in the late 90s, early 2000s. But, you know, NWA and Ice Cube and, you know, it was – and Dr. Dre and Eazy, they had all kind of gone their separate ways. And then Eazy was in the process of, and he died, and his wife, you know, took over. But yeah, they were some of the first to really kind of take full control over their situations, or to take most of control over their situations. But it just, you know, everybody's in a different sort of situation, and you're right. It did, you know, artists figuring that aspect out that they were giving too much to the record labels, and to the studios, really ultimately ended up is the death of these studios, right? Like, now a lot of them are living off of the artists that they had taken advantage of, right?
Sure.
I mean, because now most of your new artists, I mean, like Drake dropped a song. Like, he literally made up a song one night in the studio, came up with a nifty little dance. They recorded the shit on an iPhone and it blew up. Like, he throws it out there and it blew up overnight. And it was the buzz of the music industry because there was no record label. There was no studio. It was just Drake and DJ Khaled, you know, and they put this shit out and they put it together and they distributed it. And, you know, it did crazy numbers. Right. And the record labels are like, well, you still need us. No, we don't. We got the interwebs. We got the Googles.
I mean, we got Apple Music. Example.
We got Spotify. Yeah.
20 years ago, we could not be producing this.
Exactly.
And here we are.
You know, I mean, and the reality is that while, you know, we're not Joe Rogan by any stretch of the imagination. We're not comparing ourselves to anything to that level. But the reality is we can look at our numbers and there are people who, around the world who listen to our show.
Yes.
You know, we could point to every continent, Africa, Australia, Europe, Japan, China, the USA, Mexico, everywhere. And there are people who listen to our show. Now, are there thousands? No. But
there's like, hundreds.
Right. I mean, there's, you know, there's literally hundreds of people around the world who listen to our show on a weekly basis. One, thank you. Continue to do so. We love it. We appreciate it. But that just shows you the power that people have when they like, and it doesn't like, we don't put a ton, like we put effort into it, but we're not trying to produce records and we're not trying to reach the masses. You know, we've had conversations about it before.
If the listener of the Ivory Coast would just send us an email, jim@whiskeycongress.com, steve@whiskeycongress.com, or Twitter @whiskeycongress. I'm so curious how the fuck you found us.
Right. I'm curious.
Ivory Coast, always pops up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious about Russia. I'm curious about Japan.
I'm scared about Russia.
I'm curious about Uzbekistan. I'm just curious about all these places that aren't, you know. I'm even curious about, you know, people here in the States. Like, you know, how it's just interesting to see how people find something like us, and then it grows.
And we're not even talking about real crime or false convictions or murder porn. Which maybe we should start doing. That's where the money is, brother.
Or cooking shows with cats.
Cooking shows with cats, and yes. All right, man. So we have to make a decision, and we're going to do this on the air.
Yep.
I don't feel good about pay-per-viewing Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.
I don't feel good about it either.
We're going to not do it? I'm all for not doing it.
Listen, I love Tyson. I love Roy Jones Jr. Love both fighters in their prime. We've talked about it on the show multiple times, that Tyson's loss to Buster Douglas essentially ruined my life. You know,
I wouldn't say your life
was ruined. As a 9 or 10 year old kid when it happened, like, I mean, it just crushed my world to see him lose. I'd never really seen, I think he was technically my first true hero. And then to see him lose like that, I mean, it was crushing, right? I was 9 years old. I did not have the emotional capacity for it, especially the way that he lost with him, you know, crawling around on the mat looking for
his mouthpiece. Oh, God.
Like, it just like, I'm just
that
like,
uppercut was one of the most brutal
punches I've ever seen. Right, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Right, I mean, it was brutal. I mean, the psychological impact of that on me is something that I'm still dealing with the psychologist. So, Do we watch it? Like, I'm so curious just to see what this is. I know that it is an exhibition in every extent of the word, even more so than Mayweather and McGregor. But
Mayweather and McGregor was at least a normal fight. They're changing the rules for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the rounds are only going to be 2 minutes. There's not going to be judges.
Do you remember me protesting us about Mayweather McGregor? Because bullied me into watching it.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I know what's going to happen. It's going to be a TKO. They're going to protect McGregor, who is completely outclassed. This is not apples to apples because Roy Jones, in his prime, was one of the greatest technical fighters I've ever seen.
Yes.
But he's not in his prime anymore.
Neither of them are in their prime. Did you see the weigh-in?
I did not.
I saw the weigh-in, and like they're both in really good shape for guys in their 50s.
Right. They're older than me.
Right. I mean, they're older than you, and they look like they both look like they're in great shape, right? Like, they don't. Now, people were criticizing because neither of them look like they did when they were fucking 25.
Because they're not the chiseled fucking killers that
they
were.
Guys in their mid 50s, like, they look great, right? Like, I mean, like, you that, you know, you and I were talking about examples, and I'm like, look, go look at Tyson, because we've seen Tyson, you know, we've seen fat Mike Tyson,
yeah,
and out of shape Mike Tyson, and he worked his ass off to get himself in shape, and he looks better than he has in 15 years, okay? That being said, I don't feel, like, I don't know what I'm going to get at. I feel like there's more, like, chances are, there's more opportunity for disappointment than there is for, right? The only joy I get out of this is if Mike Tyson knocks him out in the first 5 minutes, right? Which would be, I guess, the first
third round. But here's the thing. I don't have a villain in this.
I do. I don't have a villain, but I have a clear hero, and it's Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's my fucking hero. So the only good thing to come out of this is if Mike Tyson does what Mike Tyson does and knocks him out in the first couple of rounds with a vicious knockout.
I just don't want to see
that. I need him to walk out to Mama Said Knock You Out. I need him to have the cutoff hoodie. I need him to have the black trunks. And I need to see the gap in his teeth. I need to see the fire in his eyes. And I need to see the fight over within 2 minutes, making the $50 spent completely not worth it. But that, to me, would be worth it. And if it's not that, which the chances of it being that are very slim, then it's not worth it for me to see this.
So I'm trying to think of a guy who I would want to see just get blasted. I'm very open about not being a Floyd Mayweather fan, but the idea of Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather fighting is so comical. I'm not going to put that out there. I really like Roy Jones Jr. And
yeah.
I watched him, so being 10 years older than you, Mike Tyson, I remember watching him knock out Trevor Burbick in 1986, I want to say, and just being in awe.
Yeah.
Trevor Burbick was the last person to fight Muhammad Ali. Yes. So interestingly, beat Muhammad Ali and then got retired by losing to Mike Tyson. Tyson hits him with a shot. They use the term legs going to rubber. Nothing mm-hmm. could have demonstrated that better than that fight, because Trevor Burbick tried to bully a physically smaller guy and got blasted so hard, gets knocked down, tries to stand up and act like, you didn't hurt me, and his legs just, the lower half of his body just didn't work.
Right.
It was disturbing to watch as a 15-year-old. And I became a Tyson fan because he was just amazing to watch. But seeing him blast out Roy Jones doesn't make me feel good. So
yeah, this is, again, for me, it's not about Roy Jones Jr. Like, there's nothing about this that is actually about Roy Jones Jr., right? It kind of sucks for me that it's Roy Jones Jr., because I, too, like Roy Jones Jr., and I actually remember more about Roy Jones Jr. just because of the time and age and everything else, right? And Roy Jones, like you said, was amazing. He was so fast, his hands, just his defensive power. Speed. But he also had power, and then the crazy shit he did moving through weight classes and beating the people that he beat in the different weight classes, you know, I mean, like, it, going back down wasn't a great idea, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But even still, like, I remember Roy Jones' rap career, right? Which I'm sure you probably don't, but I mean,
shockingly, I do
you
not.
Remember he did it, but I remember like the actual like music videos and everything
was
else.
Awful?
It was terrible. I don't want to see Roy Jones get knocked out, but I want to see Mike Tyson win. And so, like I said, there's really only one good outcome for me, and then
outcome isn't good.
Right, and even that outcome isn't great, especially if Roy Jones Jr. were to get hurt, right?
Yeah. Which, by the way, is a real risk.
Is a
Mike
real
Tyson
risk.
Can still throw bombs.
I mean, Tyson can still throw bombs, and I mean, we've all heard Roy talk at fights, and it's just like,
not great.
It's a little jumbled, so there's some concern there.
So we're going to protest and say we're not going to support this? I think we are.
I don't know,
we're supposed to make a decision here. I can't bring myself to do it.
All right.
I can't.
And
here's the other thing. We're going to see what happens. It's going to get... I don't need to see this live. I don't.
Yeah. But, all right, man, I gotta get out of here.
Thank you for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Please give us a follow. If you're our Ivory Coast Russian or Australian fans, please shoot us a note. And thanks for listening. We're done.